Welcome back. You're in the red zone here at KCChiefs.com. Seren Petro with you, and we're going to talk about potential future Chiefs as we begin to break down the scouting that is the NFL draft. And joining us is the director of scouting for the National Football Post. He'll help us break down all the positions as we lead you up to the Chiefs' big draft day party that Thursday, when, again, this year, first round on Thursday. Wes Bunting is with us. Wes, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. And we thought we'd start today since Chris Chambers, part of the red zone today. We thought we'd talk some wide receivers and corners. I take maybe the one of the glamour positions on offense and maybe the only glamour position on defense. If there are a divas on the defensive side of the ball, they tend to be at that cornerback spot. So we thought we'd knock those two out today. Let's start with wide receivers. First of all, overall, this year's class of wideouts, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a little talent towards the top end. When we're talking first-round caliber talent, there's not a ton in that form. But once we get down towards the second, third-round guys, a lot of talent, a lot of depth in that area, guys that, you know, have some chink in their armor, not ideal, perfect prospects. Maybe they don't run elite 4-3 speed. Maybe they have trouble catching the football. Maybe they're not the most cleanest or purest route runners, but they have the ability to help an NFL offense if used correctly, and they'll be able to make plays at the next level.
All right, let's talk about guys up at the top. First of all, the Chiefs have pick number 5. That's where they sit now. Trades can happen. Anything can happen. Is there a receiver that warrants, you talked about a little bit of talent up at the top in that first round grade, is there a receiver that grades up high enough you think to be the number 5 overall pick?
Well, from a pure on-the-field standpoint, it's Dez Bryant. And I would say absolutely. But you worry about the character concerns with him. He had the run-in with Deion early in the year, suspended from the Oklahoma State football team. From every source I've talked to inside the NFL, we've heard the guy's a diva. He might not, you know, put the work in. It has that prototypical NFL wide receiver attitude that we're used to seeing. The Chad Ochocinco, the Terrell Owens, this guy's all of them wrapped up in one. Now, on-field production against character concerns, that's a tough equation to figure out. Is he worth the top overall pick or fifth overall pick from a talent standpoint? Absolutely. However, you have to weigh, you know, cost management, risk versus reward. Does this guy have the attitude, the willingness, the intangibles to be great? You know, that's the big concern with Dez Bryant.
Yeah, and Dez Bryant, we saw obviously in these parts, Big 12 country, great tools, but you do have to wonder about the off the field. Just the tools. Is there a receiver that you've studied in the past, that you've scouted in the past, that you think he reminds you of, at least physically? I mean, the off the field and whether or not you're going to commit to studying the offense and working with a quarterback is a big part of the equation for wideouts that I think people don't realize. But just the physical tools, is there a guy he reminds you of?
Well, physical tools, I mean, you can make the comparisons. He's an elite-type prospect. I mean, you could make the Andre Johnson comparisons. Obviously doesn't have that elite 4-3 speed down the field. Reminds me a bit, we're going to go old school here, with a guy like Sterling Sharp.
Okay.
Uses that big body to separate, has a burst of balance to get in and out of his breaks. Obviously not a burner down the field, but generates accelerations when it has to change direction, uses his big body, bear claws for hands, plus the football. And then once he catches it, puts his foot in the ground, gets north to south quickly, that's the kind of receiver he reminds me of.
All right, who else is in that first-round class? Is Golden Tate at Notre Dame? That's a name that certainly everybody's heard.
Yeah, that's a name everyone's heard. I mean, I wouldn't trust it, to be honest. Dez Bryant's the only guy I would feel have a conviction about it. You take in the first round. A guy that I'd lean towards maybe is Aurelius Ben from Illinois. This is 6'1", 220-pound guy. Reminds me a lot of Anquan Boldin. He could make more of an impact as any rookie receiver in this year's class because of his ability to catch the ball underneath and create after the catch then. Real physical to bring down. Didn't have real gaudy numbers this year because of the inept offense and Juice Williams at Illinois, but this is a real standout. He would rank as my number 2 prospect of the wide receiver class.
All right, I have to ask you about Brandon LaFell just because he's from LSU and the Chiefs are 3-for-3 on first-round picks being from LSU. I take it you're thinking he's more, and maybe he will be a Chief, maybe it'll be a second-round pick, but he's more in that fringe, bottom of the first, top of the second caliber?
Yeah, I think so. And if I need a wide receiver and a guy like Ben and Brian are off the board, I would have no problem with taking Brandon LaFell in the first round. However, because of concerns with his straight-line speed, a high 4.5 guy, low 4.6 guy, I don't think he sneaks into the first round, to be honest. It wouldn't surprise me if he would, and I wouldn't have any problems taking him. This guy can be a threat on the outside. He can beat press, a smooth route runner. The biggest knock on the fella is he's going to drop the football. You have to put up with his drops. He'll put it on the ground, but has the ability to make plays underneath and down the field. I like Brandon LaFell a lot.
All right, and you mentioned 40 times, and his was not the best. And we'll get to 40 times on the corners as well. Jerry Rice didn't run a great 40. Michael Irvin didn't run a great 40. But they played fast in pads. Are teams getting wise to it's not all about the 40? We've seen some guys, I remember even going back, that kind of came out of nowhere to be maybe not first-round picks, but high second-round picks because they had those great 40 times and never really produced as outstanding football players. Are teams wising up? Is the 40 time important, but maybe not as important as it was 10 years ago?
I'd say so. Unless you're the Oakland Raiders taking Darius Hayward Bay, to be honest. But with guys like Dez Bryant, Brandon LaFell, Aurelius Ben, it's short area quickness and balance as route runners. For you, the ability to keep your feet under you, cleanly change directions, and accelerate out of your breaks. All you need, especially for these big receivers, is that first step on a corner. Then all they do is get their big bodies, shield them out, and then go pluck the football, break a tackle, and create. When we look at vertical threats, Larry Fitzgerald's arguably the best vertical threat in the NFL. The guy's a 4.55 guy, but his ability to go up and pluck the football at his highest point. The game's changing. When you're covered, you can throw receivers open just by making them go get the football. Dez Bryant, Brandon LaFell, Aurelius Ben, they can all do that for you without elite top-end speed.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Wes, because I've been saying it for a couple of years now that the NFL – look, if you're looking at the quarterback and the defensive back as not, you're open, and you're supposed to make that catch. And that's where the big receiver comes into it. Have we gotten away? There was a time that the big receiver was a West Coast receiver, and the quicker receiver was the quote-unquote Eric Coryell, Mike Martz, you know, Rams-style offense. That's you know, they had to be the burners, and they were a little bit smaller. They didn't want 220, 225. Have we gotten to the point that everybody would like a bigger, more physical wideout that also – you know, is a burner, and there isn't, you know, we don't have to worry so much about teams that, hey, this team wants this style of wideout, so that guy's not really an option?
Yeah, well, ideally everyone wants Andre Johnson. You know what I mean? 6'2", yeah. That can get down the field, that can break tackles. But the NFL's become so role-specific. You have a number one guy that can beat a press coverage, get down the field, a number two guy, the possession-type guy, and now – you have to consider your slot guy as a starter. With the NFL consistently going to three wide receiver sets, guys like Dexter McCluster, Jacoby Ford, Jordan Shipley, Marty Gilliard, they all have roles in the offense now that you match them up with a two-way go on a corner, and they consistently are able to beat it, move the chains, create after the catch. So when you're evaluating the receiver class, it's almost three different positions. Is he a number one guy? Is he a number two possession guy? Or is he a slot guy? So I think the NFL's really evolved from that aspect.
You rambled through a couple of names, and let me hit you with a couple of names and just get your thoughts on them. I think the quickest 40-time run by a wideout, and maybe by anybody at the Combine, was Jacoby Ford from Clemson. Does that have him skyrocketing up the charts?
Well, I think so. He's a luxury pick. I mean, like I said, he's not a guy at 5'9", 190 pounds, that with the track background, he's not ready to step into an NFL offense, deep press coverage on the outside, consistently separate out of his breaks. He's a guy you can run some screens to, run reverses, you put him in the slot, you let him run away from coverage, create after the catch, and then he's going to help you out on special teams. I think as a third, fourth round pick to an established offense that just needs another dynamic option to their play, I think Jacoby Ford can be that guy.
All right, you mentioned Jordan Shipley. Did not run very well for being an undersized guy. Does that really knock him down a lot of boards, the kid from Texas?
Well, I think people, they were making him out to be a Wes Welker-type player, which I don't think he is at all. If you're going to make the comparison, I think he's more of a Brendan Stokely-type guy that, again, you put him in the slot because he can't beat press coverage. Oklahoma, you know, Brian Jackson on the outside would not let him get off the line, but he's a smart guy, can read zone coverage, sit down, catch the football. And he is what he is. Is he ever going to be a star at the next level? No, but there's nothing wrong with having a Brendan Stokely-type career, solid throughout. When you need a guy to move the chains, the quarterback's going to look at Jordan Shipley. So,
all right, to hear people talk about it, Marty Gilliard was the next coming of Jerry Rice as Cincinnati was rolling off their outstanding season until they ran into Florida. What does he project out as?
Well, again, I mean, I sound like a broken record. He's another guy that when there's a reason Brian Kelly moved him all around the offense. They moved him in the slot. They put him in motion because at 6 foot, 180 pounds, whatever he is, and he's not a real burner, struggles to beat press coverage. Corners aren't afraid that he's just going to run by him. Now, he plays faster than he times. He has some wiggle to his game, but ideally, you put him in the slot against his corner in a two-way go. He's got the wiggle to make a man miss and create after the catch. Plus, he can help you out on special teams. I think he's a third, fourth-round guy as well.
Do wide receivers benefit from the team around him more than any other position?
I think so. And, you look, it's a quarterback-driven league, college football, NFL. And there's a reason why Pierre Garçon and Anthony Gonzalez and the Colts consistently turn out new receivers. Well, they have a good quarterback there that knows how to get them the football, gets them, anticipates the routes, gets them out of their breaks. So the wide receiver class, again, so much is made about guys like Marty Gilliard, Jordan Shipley, and their production. But if they're going to a place like Georgia Tech, they're having the exact same production as a guy like Demetrius Thomas, who, you know, unfortunately, he was just asked to run the nine route and block for him all year.
All right, two more players that are of local interest. Desmond Briscoe from Kansas and Denario Alexander at Missouri. What is the latest on their status?
Well, I really like Desmond Briscoe, to be honest. I think he's a smooth route runner. I think he has the ability to beat press coverage, can go up and get the football, is a much better route runner than given credit for, considering the open spread offense that he ran at Kansas. I think this guy, sure, he doesn't have elite speed. I think he ran at his pro day in the 4.5 range, but his ability to go up and pluck the football, that really helps his calls. I think he's ideally a number two possession type receiver, and if that doesn't work out, if he proves he's not athletic enough, he's a number four guy who can play in the slot, go down the seam, and make things happen, just like the Saints use Marcus Colston a lot. Alexander, on the other hand, he's a guy that when he gets down the field, when he gets those legs churning, can pick up speed as he goes. However, he's not a real quick starter, struggles to get in and out of his breaks because of those long legs, but he knows how to catch the football. I think he is an ideal number four receiver that you can use in the slot, let him go down the field, get the football, but he's never a guy. He showed at the Senior Bowl, and he showed against Nebraska, against top corners. He can't get off the press.
Wes Bunting is the director of scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. We are breaking down a couple of positions, wide receiver, and now we'll do cornerbacks. Overall strength of corners in this year's draft, similar to wideouts, I think?
I'd say it's pretty close. There's a couple guys with some elite talent that look like first-round picks, and then there's some really nice depth behind them. I'd say the depth is the real calling card of this year's draft, but there's some guys that can come and I think start pretty early in their NFL careers.
All right, Joe Haden is considered the top guy. 40-time, not where they wanted it to be. Does that harm him as the number one corner?
Well, the rumor then is that he had a sprained back. He was banged up a bit. And, you know, obviously on tape, Joe Haden has the most explosive first step of any guy in the country. And I'm willing to bet my last dollar that he's not a 4.58 guy. This guy runs in the 4.4 range. I think if he's healthy, and I think what he's going to prove at his pro day, he's going to run in the 4.4 range. You can put him in a cover two scheme and let him close on the football. I think he can play man. He can press. A little raw out of his back pedal when asked to turn and run, but the physical skill set is there. His ability to get from 0 to 60 instantly out of his breaks when closing on the football, he does it as well as anyone in the draft.
If he wasn't healthy, why'd he run?
It's that competitive attitude. Why did Calvin Johnson run a couple of years ago when he said he wasn't going to? And all these competitive juices just, you know, it takes guys over. And you like to see that sometimes. And was it the smartest move on his part? No, but it happens time to time.
All right, let's talk about a couple more of the top corners. Earl Thomas at Texas.
Well, you know, I don't consider it's not bad. Earl Thomas is one of the tougher guys to figure out, in my opinion. They list him as a free safety at Texas. Consistently, though, played in the slot as a nickel guy. Not a real physical tackler. Can play some zone. I'm not high on Earl Thomas, as high as Earl Thomas as most people are, but I think ideally he can play center field type role as a free safety. I think he can kick him inside as a nickel, but anytime this guy's asked to play in a phone booth, take on blocks, make tackles in space, I think he's really going to struggle. He really concerns me.
Does he fit more as a cover two guy than a man-to-man then?
Yeah, I'd say cover two is probably more ideal for him, where you put him in space in a center field type role at free safety and just let him roam the deep half of the field. Anytime he's asked to come up in the box, just watch the Alabama tape. I mean, he just really struggles to tackle.
Corners are such a premium. The next couple of guys I think are going to be sliding up into the first round. People may not be talking about him right now, but Kyle Wilson at Boise State.
Yeah, Kyle Wilson I love. This guy, as fluid, as balanced, as technically sound as any corner in this year's draft at 5'10", around 195 pounds, can play off man, which is one of the toughest things to do coming from college football. However, at 5'10", he can also press. When he gets his hands on you consistently, can reroute receivers, plus his change of direction skills, balance, footwork. He's really ahead of anyone in the class in that aspect. I can't see a talent like him getting outside the first round, to be honest.
All right, a guy I heard did very well at the Senior Bowl. I actually had a chance to talk to him down at the Super Bowl. Is him and some buddies. Another guy I'll talk about here in a second came up from where they were working out, getting ready for the combine. Devin McCourty from Rutgers.
Yeah, McCourty's another guy I like. Big 5'11", 195-pound corner, long arms, can press off the line, is pretty technically sound, doesn't have the same type of balance as a guy like Kyle Wilson, so he doesn't explode out of his breaks when he has to turn his run, doesn't play quite as quick, but a little more physical, tracks the football well. This is another guy who I project as a potential starter early in his career in the NFL.
All right, anyone else? I got one more guy I'm going to ask you about, but I'm going to save him for a second. Anyone else out of that corner position that really catches your eye, you think is going to be a great value?
Well, the one guy I have to mention, I'm going to say this name slow.
No, that's my guy. That's your guy?
Well,
yes.
Then I'm going to let you say it.
All right, he's the other guy I talked to. Devin McCourty and Marty Gilliard were all up there together at the Super Bowl. They came up from their camp or they were working out. And I actually had it phonetically written out for me. And I'm positive on the first, it's kind of like three names. I'm positive on the first one and I'm positive on the last one. It's the middle one that I can't necessarily remember, but I believe it's Akwase Owusu-Anseh.
Yeah, that's pretty close. And I live in central Pennsylvania,
okay. And
IUP is right down the road, so I've seen this guy a bunch of times. And honestly, when coming out, he reminds me a lot of a guy like Rasheen Mathis, the starting corner for the Jacksonville Jaguars. A 6-foot, 207-pound kid, runs like the wind, a big, strong upper body. I mean, when he gets his hands on the football, he's powerful, can change directions cleanly. Now, he's a bit raw. Obviously, a bit stiff in his lower half, gets a bit upright. He might be better projected to play free safety at the next level. But what you have is a beautiful piece of clay that you can turn into a work of art with some time. He's going to need a couple years, but his upside is absolutely tremendous. One of the top athletes in this year's draft.
You know, I'll vouch for the size because I looked at him and I did not know who he was at first, and I knew he was a draft prospect, and I started looking through safeties and even outside linebackers. I thought, well, maybe he's one of those speed, undersized outside linebackers they're going to try to bulk up. And no, he's a corner, but he's a big corner. And I'm with you. I mean, I have not seen him play, but I was really impressed with the kid. Great kid to talk to. And clearly, I think a guy that is going to come in and give a great effort once he gets into camp. Let's talk about the physical traits of these two positions. Hand size. Nobody ever talks about hand size. But, you know, as I've talked to scouts for years now, I remember going back to a guy, the Florida kid, Jabari. Oh, boy.
Career?
Yes, right. Who played with the Pats. Is that right?
Yeah.
When he was a stud at Florida, it was the first time I learned about hand sizes because I had an NFL scout tell me his hands are too small. He's never going to be big time because of that. And I was like, really? He catches all the balls in Florida. Since then, I've kept my eye on that. It does seem to be one of the attributes. Yeah, everyone looks at 40 times, but you got to have a big pair of mitts to catch an NFL football, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And consistently when we talk about college football and college receivers and quarterbacks, it's open throwing lanes in college football. There's not much contact right afterward that a receiver catches the football when he's asked to extend those hands. In the NFL, he has cornerbacks draped all over him. So you need those big pair of claws that you can just extend your hands, catch the football, and strong wrist as well, because as soon as you catch the football, you know a corner or a safety or a linebacker is right on your back trying to knock it away. So obviously the bigger the hands, the stronger the wrist, the better chance you have of holding onto the football through contact.
All right, and what about the attributes that it takes to be a quality corner?
Oh, the corner, it's all about balance. Keeping your feet under you, being able to cleanly get in and out of your breaks. We see so many talented guys, the Fabian Washingtons, the Stanford Routes of this year's class, guys like Patrick Robinson, elite 4.3 speed who can run like the wind. However, they struggle to keep their feet under them, to keep their base down, their knees bent. Their legs are all over the place when they're trying to transition, and they don't play anywhere near as fast as they time as a straight-line athlete. However, if you have a guy like Kyle Wilson or guys Kareem Jackson, who may not run quite as well as a guy like Patrick Robinson, but because of their footwork, their balance, playing much faster because they consistently have their feet under them and able to explode in and out of their breaks.
All right, we're talking to Wes Bunting, director of scouting from NationalFootballPost.com. We'll continue to break down the other positions later on, but Wes, before I let you go, our little exercise, Final Four, four quickies. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, best corner ever that you've had a chance to scout yourself, the one that you just thought, wow, look, this guy's got all the tools.
Well, as a scout, I mean, when you're trying to figure it out, you love to go back and watch old school guys, and you have to bring up Deion. I mean, he's in a class as his own, to be honest. Champ Bailey was up there too, Charles Woodson, but Deion just, it's a dance to him. By far the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, unbelievable feat. You talk about balance. He certainly had it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, who did you like? Do you remember Brady Quinn or Jamarcus Russell? Neither's distinguished himself to this point, but did you have – I know there was a lot of debate there, and then Jamarcus Russell went out and Brady Quinn slid, and their careers have not taken off to this point. Did you have a preference between those two?
I would have went with Brady Quinn. He was the smarter guy, didn't have the physical skill set, but I worried so much about Jamarcus Russell's intellect, being able to handle a playbook, his work ethic. That worked out well for me. Brady Quinn hasn't, but I was a Brady Quinn guy.
All right, there's truth in both of the statements I'm going to make here. You tell me which one has more truth. Quarterback makes the wideout or the wideout makes the quarterback?
Oh, quarterback makes the wideout.
Yeah, all you got to do is see Peyton Manning. Everybody exactly. Seems to be good when Peyton Manning's throwing in the football. All right, and give me a big name that's on the slide here with a little over a month to go.
A big name that's on the slide. I'm going to go with Javier Arenas from Alabama. We were talking about corners later. This was a guy potentially thought of as a maybe second-round pick. He can do it all, a jack-of-all-trades, but a master of none. Isn't real fast, isn't a guy that's going to make many plays. I don't think he can play on the outside, a slot-only tight cornerback. That 4.6 40 time is what really is hurting his cause. Plus, he's undersized, around 5'9", 200 pounds. That's not small and slow is not good for the cornerback position, no matter how fluid or balanced you are.
No, you are absolutely right. Wes, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. The website, NationalFootballPost.com. We'll break down some more spots with you next week.
Hey, thanks for having me.